With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm Ben here in Manchester, and coming up over the course of the next hour or so, we're going to be covering all three divisions of the Northern Premier League, the big season kickoff this weekend. Later on, we've got a Premier Division preview with James Hayes. We've got Mr. Ian Burke coming on from 26-0 to preview Division 1 West. And joining me now from the North East with a bit of Division 1 East as well, we're now joined by the North East Football Podcast very own. It's a welcome return and a happy summer to Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Looking forward to the new season getting underway.
Yes. Yes, I can't wait. To be fair, me and you cover other non-leagues, and it's been going on for about 3 weeks now this season, technically. This is just the Northern Premier League thing, kicking off late in the summer.
But it's a regular season.
But we're all prepped. Are the clubs themselves. And speaking of which, coming up in the show, we're also going to be hearing from Gainsborough Trinity, Northferby United and South Shields from... and Basford. Basford's coming on too. So Gainsborough, Northferby, South Shields, Basford. We've also got, from a Division 1 point of view, Ossett United, Belper Town and Skelmersdale United. So all happening in this first proper episode of the EvoStick NPL show of the 2018-19 season. But Mark, just before I talk to you about South Shields and that kind of thing, let's talk about Division 1 East and the teams joining us from the Northern League. We had the likes of Mask and Morpeth Town on at the end of last season just to see how much they're looking forward to it. How much are you looking forward to seeing those two in the NPL this season?
Yeah, it's a new challenge for both, and both have had, you know, big success over the last few years in the Northern League. They've kind of built themselves up as clubs. Obviously, Morpeth won the FA Vaz 3 years ago, now it'll be. They've strengthened with experience. This summer, they brought in people like Dan Lawson, who was at Spennymoor, Sam Hodgson, who's played higher up the leagues, Jeff Henderson, who's a former Newcastle United under-23s captain. And they've kept a hold of their big players, the likes of Wayne Phillips, Liam Henderson, Sean Taylor. So they look well placed to me to challenge this season at the top end of the league. And as long as they can cope with the travelling, the kind of, particularly the midweek travelling, which is a big difference from the Northern League, I think they'll do well. Mask are a bit different. Mask obviously came up as champions, put a ridiculous run together at the back end of last season. And they've strengthened in the summer. They've strengthened well. Callum Martin come in. Andrew May came from Whitby. And then Jamie Owens has gone back to the club from Stockton Town, who he helped reach the FA Vaz final last year. So the big thing that Carl Jarrett's done at Mask has kept a hold of the majority of the title-winning squad. So they've gone for a bit of continuity. So it's going to be interesting to see how they both get on, but I fancy both clubs to be in the upper half of the table.
Let's talk about the travelling aspect then. Morpeth Town to Belper in Derbyshire. That's a hell of a journey. This does raise the question about the travelling side of things. What's your general understanding about how Morpeth and Mask are going to take to the travelling this season?
Well, it's very different, despite the fact they're both in the North East, that they're kind of polar opposites of the North East, where you've got Morpeth, which is, as many people say, is pretty much Scotland. It's not, but you know, it's kind of Northumberland. And then you've got Mask, who are, you know, Teesside. It's a good hour and a bit difference between the two clubs. So Mask travelling isn't as bad as Morpeth's, but both clubs are ready for it. You know, there was a little bit of moaning from internal places last year, but they've kind of adjusted to it. They've got everything in place. Morpeth have gone out and got a coach of their own that they're going to be using every week. So they're ready for it. And as I mentioned, with Morpeth squad, you know, they've got a lot of players that have been at high levels. They're used to the travelling, and I think they'll be all right.
Now, we were meant to have Tom Feeney on this week's show to cover the Yorkshire aspect. So Yorkshire, I'm sorry, we're not ignoring you necessarily, but we'll get Tom on next week. He's at the Edinburgh Festival. To soften the blow of not having a Yorkshire correspondent on, Ossett United are one of the teams that everyone's looking at this season because of obviously it's an amalgamation of Ossett Albion and Ossett Town. And in the week, I caught up with club CEO, here's Phil Smith, just to talk about where the club's going. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm all good. First things first, happy birthday, Phil.
Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Right. So it's been a busy summer for the club, to say the least. Where are Ossett United up to now, heading into this new season?
We're done. We're all exhausted. We're passed out. We can't carry on.
Is that it then? Might as well draw a line on the season now.
No, it's been absolutely brilliant. As obviously predicted, we had a very hectic pre-season program, which finished last weekend against Colne. We're all guns blazing and all ready to get on the road and head down to Loughborough on Saturday morning.
Now, we'll talk about on the pitch in a second and how that side of things is shaping up. But overall, you've merged Ossett Town with Ossett Albion. What's it been like off the pitch with the reception in the town amongst the support and getting season tickets in and that kind of thing?
Well, I was gonna just use the word when the dust settled, it's all sort of become really nice. The dust hasn't settled still yet, and there's still a lot of buzz. You know, we had a jokey fact the other day that Ossett Albion managed to sell 42 shirts in their 77 years of existence, and we did 365 in 72 hours.
Blimey, well, that's very impressive then.
That's not to downplay Ossett Albion at all, but it's to show the current interest and the sort of hype in the town that's really, really buzzy. You know, we're selling shirts on the ground. We've got a shop called Dance Shack in the city centre, in town centre, that have offered to sell our shirts for us. And when you can't buy them here, you can buy them there. And we see everyone walking around wearing them.
It proves all the hard work's been worth it, I suppose, because it has been some very big matches as well during pre-season. I think you had Leeds United coming to town as well. How's pre-season been?
It was a great time to get Leeds to visit us. They asked us not to post it as an under-23s game, although predominantly the side were under-23s. They asked us to do it as a Leeds United 11, and they ended up bringing five first-team players, or at least three regulars and two lads that have played in the first couple of times. And we had a really good day. Not again, football aside, we could have sold the tickets twice over. We ended up having 1,600 people on the ground due to our seats not being ready. They are being fitted right now as I'm talking to you. But we had 1,600 fans on the ground, a great family day out and a great day out for the town as well.
And we'll come to the Loughborough game in a second, but on Tuesday night you'll be hosting Cleethorpes Town in the first home game of the season. Like you said, the seats are being put in now. How's preparations getting the ground spruced up, ready for Cleethorpes' visit?
All but the club shop is ready. So we're still selling. Well, we've just had a final delivery of merchandise literally yesterday. We will be selling our merchandise and a lot of it there is, but we won't do it from the club shop. That'll be another 2 weeks. We have a new cafe. The bar's good to go. The pitch looks fantastic. Best it's ever looked here. Brand new seats. And everything's sort of in order and ready to go. We had a guy queuing up the other morning to buy a ticket for the Cleethorpes game, a Bradford City fan who saw it on social media and thought, well, Bradford aren't playing, so I'll come down and watch you guys instead.
Oh, that's brilliant stuff. And obviously this weekend, though, it's the big season kickoff and you're on the road to the aforementioned Loughborough Dynamo. Have you slept much? Because you've got all this stuff going on and you've got to build a competitive squad as well, because expectations are going to be high, because Ossett Town had a decent season a couple of seasons ago. Ossett Albion had a better season last season. Where are we at with how competitive the team's going to be for this season in the new division, Division 1 East?
We have recruited, in my opinion, and we've all got different opinions in the game, that's why we love it so much. We've recruited, in my opinion, strong in the areas that we needed to. Bringing in players like Shiraz Khan, Reece Fielding, who give us extra dimensions on top of the players that we've already got. You know, Corey Gregory, Aidan Chippendale, and Priestley are all known players and great players at this level. And I feel for people like Shiraz, who've dropped down three levels to play for us, shows that we are looking to sort of progress. I think the two words for this club are stability and progression. We're going to go for stability first. We're not looking for winning the league per se. That's not our sole goal this season. Our sole goal is to get the club into a stable position. And with that comes success on and off the field.
Phil Smith, a big congratulations for all the work that's gone in, not just for you, but everyone behind the scenes at the club. It's been a gigantic effort, and all the best for this weekend's match against Loughborough, and all the best for Tuesday's match against Cleethorpes. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate that. Thanks for your support, as always.
So Phil Smith, club CEO at Ossett United. Ossett United, there's a few Yorkshire clubs, and I know you're focused on the North East, Mark, but I think we can safely say there's a few Yorkshire clubs who are going to be challenging in Division 1 East. Ossett United, probably, let's say, Frickle Athletic and Stocksbridge Park Steels, they're the three, really, aren't they, from Yorkshire that I think everyone's going to be looking at.
Yeah, I quite fancy Frickley to win it, if I'm honest. They've obviously gone through a lot of changes over the last couple of years and new owners, but they just seem to be getting things together at the moment. When I look at what they've done over the summer, they look more settled and they look more prepared for this season. So I quite fancy Frickley to go close. Also, it's just a bit of a new one. In many ways, it's kind of a, you don't know how things are going to settle. Again, you know, two clubs coming into one's going to be interesting to see how that works. Obviously, they've now got a whole town behind them, hopefully, and they can kick on. But it's just very much a let's see what happens with them this season. Nobody knows how things are going to work. But, you know, they've certainly got a bit of momentum behind them from everything they've done since the change was announced. And it's intriguing how that will work. But for me, I think Frickley would probably be my favourites for Division 1 East.
And obviously, if we talk about the East, there's obviously Cleethorpes Town, which is in Lincolnshire. Yeah. And obviously, they're very, very ambitious as well. Wouldn't be surprised if they're pushing this season. And the likes of Lincoln United and Stamford. It's so intriguing that you've got these heavyweights from Division 1 South, the old Division 1 South, joining the eastern side of what was Division 1 North. And it's going to be amazing. We don't even mention Tadcaster Albion as well, and they're ones to watch. It's going to be an incredible league. But just heading a bit further south and Belper Town, formerly of the Premier Division a few years back, didn't quite work out for them last season. But over the summer, they've got Grant Black in, speaking of Ossett, formerly of Ossett Town, got Grant Black in. And let's hear what the expectation is at Belper Town now. On Thursday afternoon, I caught up with Grant Black, so let's hear what he had to say. So welcome back, Grant, and welcome back to the show as well. And how's preparations been at Belper Town over the close season?
Hiya, mate. Yeah, good to be back. Always a pleasure. Yeah, preparations have gone as well as can be expected. We're happy with sort of our pre-season's gone, training-wise, game-wise, and obviously in our recruitment. We feel we've done some good deals, and we sort of can't wait to get going now.
And obviously, off the pitch as well, when we follow the Twitter feed and news stories and that kind of thing, there is a bit of a spring in the step to Belper Town. Lots of inward investment and the corporate side and that kind of thing. It seems like you come to the club at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, when we sort of got offered the job, you know, we're in sort of a bit of transition, and you know, we knew it'd be kind of a bit of a slow burn, and maybe through pre-season, but. You know, I think, you know, from what Chairman said, you know, people have been happy with sort of what they've seen and the kind of team that we've put out there, that it's obviously attracted quite a lot of attention, businesses, new fans, people sort of renewing and stuff like that. I think they wanted to see what kind of team we'd put out there. And, you know, from what I can gather, they're happy with what they've seen so far, and they're excited for season ahead.
And it's going to be a very interesting season ahead. Obviously, you're no stranger to the eastern side of the Pennines, and Belper are in this eastern block now of non-league clubs who to be fair, it's a very, very open league. I mean, where do you see this competition this season, and where do you think Belper fits in?
Yeah, I think, like you say, it's there's a few teams new to myself as well, the places that I've not been, but obviously they've been in that league for a long time, or the South section that have come into the East, should I say. You know, so I think it's going to be a very, very strong league. I don't see it being sort of a weaker side than the West, or, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking, but, you know, it'll be a strong team. You look at some of the teams that are in there, and there's some teams that'll be having a real good push this year financially, and as there always is, you know, but we feel that we've recruited really well. We've got lads that are sort of, you know, are hungry to succeed and to kick on. And, you know, basically we've kind of gone for the same recipe we've had that's worked for us before. You know, we feel that we'll be right up there, and, you know, we see no reason why. You know, it's easy to say, it's just words, but if we didn't feel we could sort of be pushing for that top six, we wouldn't be sort of doing job. So we feel we'll be right up there and giving it a good go.
And obviously, you know, it's only a few seasons ago Belper were in the Premier Division, so they're no stranger to the promotion aspect. But, you know, you look at Tadcaster Albion, Frickley Athletic, Stocksbridge Park Steels, Stamford, Lincoln United. I feel like I should name half the division. I probably already have. Cleethorpes as well.
Cleethorpes. Yeah, obviously the North East lads that come into it more before we've got first game. You know, the North East teams are always strong, well organised, and have got a big pool of players to choose from up there. So, like you say, we aren't disrespecting anyone. You know, I think you could look at sort of 12 to 14 teams that would all fancy themselves to be right up there, and we're no different.
And you mentioned the match this weekend against Morpeth. You've also got the Wednesday match as well away at Lincoln United. The game's coming thick and fast. How's your squad shaping up for this opening gambit of the season?
Yeah, we've pretty much sorted everything now. We're happy with everything we've got. There'll be nothing else sort of done between now and obviously the weekend. And we feel we've got everything we need. We've got one player that we would like to have available for Saturday, but he's not available until the Wednesday now due to registration issues from previous clubs. But yeah, we're happy with everything we've done, and we feel we've done well in summer, really.
Grant Black there, manager at Belper Town. So Division 1 East, I think, is going to be a great success this season and very, very intriguing, Matt Carruthers. What do you think?
I think it's wide open. I think you could be looking at it. I know I said before there that Frickley are favourites, but there's as many as 10 could probably think they've got a shot at the title, and I include the two North East clubs in that. Both are ambitious to do well, but it's such an open league, and the team that will win it will be the one that can just hit that consistency quicker, I think, in this league, because it is such a tight division. If you can get yourself out in front early on, you know, build up a bit of the league at the top of the table, then it's going to be very difficult to catch. But I keep saying it, I think Frickley are just maybe a step ahead of everyone else.
And we should say, if you're one of the new clubs joining the league, don't forget that the last show of last season featured interviews with everyone, essentially Mansfield and Wishbeck, as well as the two North East clubs joining us, and Pontefract Coles and Pickering Town, of course. And
yes.
Pickering Town, is that technically your patch? That's very far North Yorkshire, isn't it?
Well, I don't actually cover them in terms of my work, but I think you'd probably say North Yorkshire, so probably just in between the two. But it's one of the clubs that were always mentioned as possibly being moved into the Northern League at one point, because obviously we've got teams like Gisborough and North Allerton in there, so they're not too far away, but I think probably on the border.
I was going to say that the North East Rugby League, they are Pickering in their patch.
Right.
So there we
okay.
go. Anyway, enough of that. Matt Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast, a big thank you for coming on to help us walk our way through this season in Division 1 East. Just before you go, just a quick plug for the podcast and what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this week we're doing a preview of the weekend games, obviously including South Shields, Morpeth and Mask, their first games in the Evo Stick. We'll be previewing the Northern League weekend as well, some big games in the Northern League. And I'm joined by Barry Heinson, who is the voice of North East football, worked for BBC Newcastle for over three decades. Tom Widd, former Blyth Spartans manager, and Andy Bowman, who was a former assistant manager at North Shields when they won the FA Vars. So that show should be going out should be out by the time you listen to this. Record on Thursday evening at Northern League Division 2 club Heaton Stannington.
Brilliant stuff. And just before we go, that's Division 1 East. But South Shields, just before you go, we've got Lee Pipton coming on the show shortly. But just your general overall vibe, they are favourites for the title. Justified, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, going for a fourth, I would just say fourth promotion in a row, but it's a fourth title win in a row that they're looking at. You look in the summer, they brought in Gary Brown, Chris Hunter, Josh Gillies and Phil Turnbull, all come from Darlington. All have experience of this division and higher. Not 2 weeks ago, signed Blair Adams, who was at Hartlepool last season, and Dan Wright, who's just been released by Sunderland. So they've kind of gone for experience, apart from Dan, which is understandable. But the thing to watch out for South Shields this year, they've got such a good academy and a lot of good players who came through and played in the Integro Cup last season and tested themselves against clubs from a high level. I know they beat Workington 4-1, I think it was, with a very young squad. So I think Lee and Graham have maybe focused on how they can develop those youngsters this season. It'll be interesting to see how that works out, but they've got such a strong squad and a lot of players who played higher and it's understandable that the favourites, and out of Cobbie Arst, I think they will win it.
Big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us this week. And as we said, we will be hearing from Lee Picton from South Shields very, very shortly, as well as the managers at Baseford. And we'll also be hearing from Gainsborough Trinity and Northumbria United as well. Plus James Hayes joining us as well later for a fixture preview. But speaking of previews, it's now time to go from east to west. And joining us from 26-0, it's the welcome return of Mr. Ian Burke. Hello, Burkey, how are you?
I'm not doing too bad. I've got a little ulcer on the tip of my tongue, so talking's been a struggle today. But other than that, I'm doing all right, yeah. Can't grumble. Although I just did.
Thank you for sharing that. Much appreciated, Burke. Just to say as well, we will be in from Skelmersdale United shortly as well, because they've got some exciting news about returning back to Skelmersdale. So more on that in a second. But let's start with Division 1 West and jump straight in. Division 1 West, it's an amalgamation, obviously, of teams from the North, from Division 1 North and Division 1 South, plus some newbies. Burke, are you excited about Division 1 West this season?
I'm more excited than normal because this is something I've been whinging about for years to get this division on board. In fact, when I first started doing the BBC show about 8-9 years ago, we had Mark Harris, who was chairman of the league at the time. Oh, he's still chairman of the league, isn't he? Why is it split north-south? It doesn't seem to make any sense, you know, with the way the road's going. You've got the M6, nice and easy. You've got the M181 or whatever. That's nice and easy. And he said, well, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? It should be like that, but it isn't. And eventually it's come round, and yeah, I'm chuffed a bit. But the thing is, I think it's going to be absolutely wide open this season. What would have been the clear favourites went up, Hyde United. Bamber Bridge, they would have been second favourites. They've gone up as well. So it just leaves the gate, absolutely a gate for another team to come through. And there's so many there that you can make a case for. Look at Cone, they've managed to keep hold of Alex Curran, as far as I'm aware. Still only 19 years old, a young player with a season in the division last year, and a really, really exciting prospect. And Steve Cunningham, he can build an entire team around him. It's just a matter of keeping hold of him for the rest of the season because, you know, heads have been turned, haven't they, and whatnot. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do. They had a great end to the season, just missed on the playoffs. But another team who just missed out where Avon Collier is, they were phenomenal. From February onwards, I think it was only South Shields who beat them. And Michael Clegg, the manager there, he's got... I don't think it's an official policy, but it's something that he likes to do. He likes to get players who are local to the area to play for him. He doesn't want people coming in from all points, east, south, north and west and all that. So he's brought a couple of players in who I think are cracking additions. Luke Givering and Tom Bentham, they spent a little bit of time together out in Australia playing over there. They're best mates, known each other for donkey's years. And Tom Bentham, he scored 15 goals for Hyde United 3 seasons ago, I think it was, when Hyde were dreadful. At the bottom of the National League North, it was the worst non-league side I think I've ever seen in my life. But he scored 15 goals in about 20 games. And he's going to score goals. He's a very simple kind of player. He does the basics as well as anybody in the division. He's not going to do anything spectacular for you, but he's got a knack of being in the right place at the right time, and he's a qualified butcher, so there you go.
So I was going to say, though, I no disrespect to everyone else, but when I look at the games for this opening weekend, one just stares at me, and not just stares but glares, really.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And that's Trafford against Prescott Cables. Now,
interesting, isn't it?
That is game of the weekend, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Two teams who missed out last season in the playoffs. They'll be hoping for more of the same again. I'm not sure how Prescott are looking players wise. A little bit out of my patch, but Trafford, they've had a shake up at the back, but they've still kept the majority of the squad that was there last season. That did really, really well for them. I mean, you got the flair there of Jack Darney. He can win a game on his own sometimes. And then they've managed to keep or bring in from Altrincham Lawrence Taylor and Darius Palmer. They were on loan last season, and I'm not sure if it's a permanent thing this time round or a loan again, but this should be a really big season for Taylor in particular. I've liked him for a couple of years now, and he's just sort of beginning to get into his stride as far as senior football's concerned. He can turn a game as well himself, a really fast number 10. I could play a little bit deeper as well, but I like him just in the hole there. And Palmer, he's I mean, he's as fast as Shelton Payne, and he's a qualified, well, he's a professional kickboxer as well. So we've he's a professional kickboxer, so you don't want to mess with him. But he's absolute lightning. But I think they're due for another good season, you know.
And speaking of due a good season, they've been threatening for a while. We go from South Manchester to the eastern side now, and Drolsden. They have been threatening it for a while. They can't quite get the consistency going, can they? This weekend, they're hosting Runcorn Linnets. Well, Glossop North End, another team we might as well throw in. They're hosting Atherton Colls this weekend in another game which does stand out when it comes to the fixtures. Yeah. What do you think of Drolsden, and then what do you think of Glossop's chances?
Well, Drolsden have been playing the cards pretty close to keeping the cards pretty close to the chest, really. I'm not too sure of the acquisitions they made, but they've got Sam Maveley in, he's back to the club. And him and Big Seth and Gonzalez, I think they could be a really, really potent partnership up front for them. They've got the experience there with the Lugsden twins, they've come in as well.
For Glossop as well, a lot of upheaval in recent seasons, but... You know, they really have taken to the Northern Premier League in the last couple of seasons, even despite a couple of changes on and off the field during that time.
Yeah, Andy Bishop's coming as co-manager as well this season. It'll be his first time in the managerial chair, but I think they're a long way off at the moment. They had a game against Buxton on Saturday, who, of course, managed by former Gloucester managers, Phil Owenackers, but they still have five trialists. And you want, we said this in the show last week, you know, the main show, that you want to have your nucleus there together, and I don't think Glossop have quite got that yet. They're still really rebuilding after losing a lot of players in the summer. I think they're going to get off to a slow start. They might well build as the season goes on, but I don't think they're going to be in with a shout this season, unfortunately.
And a bit further south, Leake Town, we might as well throw Chase Town into this conversation, Kidsgrove Athletic as well, Newcastle Town. Big season for them. Obviously, they've joined from Division 1 South. This is going to answer the question about which division was better, isn't it?
It should be. Well, this is the thing. It was always seen that, or generally seen, I should say, that the South Division weren't quite as strong, didn't quite have the depth as the First Division North. And there were some good teams in their league, are very consistent. They've been in the playoffs or just outside for the last few seasons. And I see them making a challenge this year again. Chasetown, similarly.
Scott Dundas at Chasetown did great work last season in Division 1 South. They're going to have a nice little fortress going there in the West Midlands, and you wouldn't be surprised if they are in the top half of the table.
I expect them to be. I actually saw Chasetown a couple of times last season, and they're a fearsome unit. They will get stuck in. They've got a very strong midfield, a tough defence. I think they're lacking a bit up front, to be honest, but from 1 to 8, I suppose, they're a very, very strong side, and they'll rile teams. I wouldn't say the dirty necessarily, but they'll definitely get stuck in. And I suppose it's what you expect from a Scott Dundas side, you know, no quarter ass, non-received, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those teams get on, but particularly Leake and Chasetown, actually.
Now, you mentioned Leake there. Leake this weekend are travelling to Skelmersdale United, or Prescott Cables, really. But Skelmersdale United have dipped the toe in the water, having a pre-season friendly a few weeks ago, back in Skelmersdale, and that's raised hopes that they could be moving back there soon. So for more on this, I caught up with the club in the week. So for more on Skelmersdale United now, we're now joined by media manager at the club. It's Simon Driscoll. Hello, Simon. How are you?
Hi, yeah, not too bad.
We'll get to the stadium side of things in a second or two, but how's pre-season been, and is everyone looking forward to the brand new season?
Pre-season's been pretty well, to be honest. We've had a few mixed results, some good ones against higher division. We had Morecambe Reserve side a couple of weeks back that we got a 3-0 win against, and last couple of weeks we were unfortunate against Hyde and Warrington. Very strong squads. One of the pluses of pre-season is that we've been able to play back in Skelmersdale for three games at JMO Sports Park. So it's been able to attract some of our crowd back that we lost last season.
I mean, you've been in exile essentially for much of last season at Prescott Cables, and it's a cracking venue in its own right and a cracking club. But the hope obviously is that Skelmersdale United can move back to Skelmersdale at some point in the future. So what was the reception like for these pre-season friendlies?
It was pretty good, to be honest. What it was is with Prescott and ourselves having quite a big pre-season programme, with the heatwave during the summer, it was felt that if we could play a few games away from Prescott, it allowed the pitch to grow a bit more. So we came up with the option of playing at JMO to basically try and boost crowds. I mean, the games were free admission. It was a donation towards the club if you wanted to, while we were working through the process of a stadium that would eventually be back in the town. And all the games, I mean, there was one, I think it was the Morecambe one, we had a crowd of upwards of 100 people that turned up to watch the game to cheer the lads on against Warrington Tuesday night. You wouldn't expect much of a crowd.
And hopefully as well, it's given, and I think this is the case actually, there's no hopefully about it, but hopefully it's whetted the appetites of the council and local businesses as well as supporters to start believing in the vision of bringing Skelmersdale United back, because, you know, there's you had a cracking venue there in the town, and the town needs a non-league football club. And where are we up to now with this vision of bringing Skelmersdale United back to Skelmersdale?
I mean, we put an announcement out a couple of weeks ago, which was basically to let our fans and basically people in Skelmersdale know, you know, that it wasn't just a flash in the pan, it wasn't just an idea that wasn't going to happen, it was that, you know, this is happening, you know, and it's going to bear fruit. And it was basically that we confirmed that we are in discussions with the council on JMO to basically move to the JMO Sports Park and be integrated as part of the centre, so to sort of build a stadium inside the complex, which includes the, you know, obviously the clubhouse would be extended, there'd be new changing rooms, it'd be a lot of work, but it'd be something that it's easier than basically going somewhere else in the town and building a brand new setup. So it saves a bit more time in that sense.
And when it does it as well, it would create a bit of a football hotbed, wouldn't it, as well, with all the 3G pitches and all the pitches around it. It'd really be a shot in the arm for the club, wouldn't it, going forward?
It would, Jack. It's something that we lost out on over the years compared with the exile, was that our youth academy went to our reserves. We used to have several reserve teams, youth teams, and that sort of dwindled during the years. So with JMO Sports Park being working with us, we'll be able to do that. I think there is talks at the moment, I think it's preliminary, to have one of the local youth teams actually affiliate with us so we can use that going forward.
Brilliant stuff. And just to mention from the pitch, while all this is going on, the big season kickoff's taking place this weekend, and you're hosting Leake Town. It's well, Skelmersdale United last season, a difficult season, but safety secured. Leake Town are one of the teams from Division 1 South who have been there or thereabouts throughout this show's history when they've been in Division 1 South. What are you expecting from Skelmersdale United this season? This is a baptism of fire, really, this opening game, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's a new team for us, and obviously for Leake it's going to be one of those seasons where it's a lot of new teams for them. So it's one of those for us where, like last season, really, I don't think anyone outside of the club itself would expect them much from us. You know, we may surprise a few people this season. The stadium's obviously going to be a boost. I think at the moment we're looking around possibly just after New Year. So it's one of those where if we make a decent start first couple of months, by the time we get to January, if we're moving to a new stadium, that second half of the season, there's no reason not for us to, you know, have a great second half. I think safety is obviously the ideal thing because we're not one of the most biggest spenders in the league. So safety is the main thing, but mid-table or above, that's a successful season, and couple of decent cup runs to do us, that would be a positive for us.
Well, Simon Driscoll from Skelmersdale United, keep up the excellent work. All the best as these plans get devised, and a big good luck for the big season kickoff, and thanks for coming on the show. So Skelmersdale United, a big good luck to them in their hopes to get back to Skelmersdale, and this weekend Skelmersdale United hosting Leake Town at Prescott Cables. And just before we go, just to mention, go back to the last podcast of last season for an interview with Ron Conlon at some witness joining the division this season. What's your take, Berkey, on where, who's going to take what in Division 1 West? What's your predictions?
what you've got to watch for Runcorn Linnets. They've been so good over the last 5-6 seasons in the North West Counties League, and they were knocking on the door for years and years and years, and just were always finishing second, third. And I think they're going to be very strong this season. I'd be surprised if they're not in the playoffs. I think you've got to watch Cone. They're going to be up there. Dark horses, you know. I've got a feeling Mosley will do all right. I don't necessarily think they're going to get in the playoffs, but I like the signings that Dave Wilde's made. He's got Max Leonard there who can win a game on his own. Also, you've got Adam Jones, who he never had pace. So people said, oh, he's slow as anything. He never had it to begin with. And he's there with his best mate, Mike Fish. So they've got a lot of chemistry there already at Mosley. And I think they'll have a decent season. Cone, they're not going to be far away, are they? And I'm going to keep coming back to them, I think. Runcorn Linnets, and I don't know, maybe Trafford?
It's going to be difficult.
Oh, Leek. And I love Leek, don't I? So, yeah, I've got to have Leek in there.
I was going to say, you mentioned Cone so many times there, I feel like we do have to mention Clitheroe just as a kind of... Oh, Clitheroe. They've lost players, they've lost the management. It's been interesting to see what happens with Clitheroe. Also, Kendall Town and Colwyn Bay, they'll be looking to bounce back. Obviously, they were there or thereabouts last season, but not quite getting there. And obviously, they're former Premier Division side, so they'll be wanting to bounce back soon. And
yeah, absolutely.
I think, barring one exception, which we'll cover off in a second, I've not mentioned Market Drayton. One team that we've not mentioned, Radcliffe Borough, James Hayes is coming up in a second, so that'll be all fine. But Berkey...
There's another team you're not mentioned, Ben. This is awful of you.
Rammy,
yeah.
Rammy.
Yeah.
Ben Deegan's just signed from...
He has. They've got a fair few old FC United stages, haven't they? Ben Deegan, Dean Stott, Sam Ashton in nets as well. Jerome Wright, of course. A couple of young lads in from Chester as well, who former managers at Rammy, John and Bernard, they've sent over to get a little bit more experience and to basically get them beaten up a little bit to toughen them up in the First Division North. They fell away a little bit last season. They had a really good start, but it was a similar pattern to the season before. I've got a soft spot for Rammy. I always have, always will, I think. And I'd like to see him do better this year, but I think the best they can hope for is mid-table, really.
Berkey, just before you go, just a quick plug for 26-0. It's a big season kickoff this weekend in the Premier Division. Hyde United, let's just say it's a big game, taking on Basford United. More on Basford in a second.
Yeah.
But 26-0 will be there, 26-0.com. Excited for the big season kickoff and what lies in store for Hyde United?
Yeah, absolutely. Hyde unbeaten at home in 18 months. Basford absolutely destroyed the First Division South last season. A meeting of giants. Ben, it's going to be an absolutely belting game, either that or an 0-0.
So a big thank you there to Mr. Ian Burke from 26-0 for joining us on this week's show. Now, it's now time to draw our eyes to the Premier Division and this weekend's fixtures. And as promised, joining me now on the other end of the phone, it's the welcome return to the social media officer from the glorious Evostick Northern Premier League. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So, also coming up in the next... I don't know how long's left because I've not done this show in ages, so I've not really planned the time. But coming up in the next segment of the show, we're going to be joined by Lee Sinnott, manager at Gainsborough Trinity. We've got Chris Boulder coming on as well, his counterpart at North Ferber. Martin Carruthers, another Carruthers from the Carruthers household, Martin Carruthers, joining us from Basford United, and South Shields, one of the joint managers, Lee Picton, will also be coming on because it's a big season kickoff this weekend. We're awfully, awfully excited. And, James, how excited are you?
Well, there's two sides of it. One is absolutely excited to get all finally underway. I know we're pretty much one of the last leagues to get going. But at the same time, the amount of stress clubs are putting us at the moment just to make sure that there's no incidents on the first weekend. But let's get it underway and hopefully have another exciting season like we have done.
Absolutely. We just discussed there with Mr. Ian Burke, Hyde United against Basford United. It does seem like a rather... big fixture for the opening weekend in the Premier Division. We've already heard from Mr. Hyde United himself, Ian Burke, so it'd be remiss of us not to hear from the Basford United side of things. So on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the Basford United manager. Here's Martin Carruthers.
Yeah, absolutely buzzing. Really excited. It seems to have taken forever. I think it's the longest pre-season I've ever been involved in, with teams starting 2 weeks ago. And, you know, you get itchy feet, you see the teams, you see the results, and you speak to the managers, and all you want to do is get playing competitive games again. But credit to the players that, you know, they've worked really hard. We've put a decent squad together. Yeah, we're rearing to go. We can't wait.
What's the recruitment been like? Because obviously you were in Division 1 South last season, and let's just say you were very, very competitive in Division 1 South last year. How do you add to that successful squad so you're ready for the challenges that Step 3 are going to bring?
Yeah, listen, I mean, the season before last, you know, we had a list of targets. We targeted 4 or 5 stroke players. We got our business done really early, got the players in again. And it was the same mentality. You know, we targeted 4 or 5 players, you know, different areas of the pitch just to make us more competitive, competition for places. Obviously, you know, you need a stronger squad, much better teams. So, yeah, we recruited really well. We've brought in 4 or 5 players, but it's not going to stop there. You know, we're still looking for 1 or 2 additions. And because it's the unknown for us, you know, we don't know what to expect, but, you know, from what I've seen pre-season, we're really strong. But only time will tell. So, yeah, hopefully we'll start the season really well and kick on from there.
Now, last week we had our preview show, and it quickly became apparent that some of the stronger sides in the division this season, the expectation is, are going to be the ones that have come out of Division 1, both North and South. How are you managing your expectations? Because the bookies are putting Basford as one of the favourites this season, and that's quite remarkable that the favourites are coming from Step 4. But how do you make sure that you keep a lid on this?
We always speak to our players. We had a team meeting on Tuesday talking about our own expectations as a team, individual expectations, and obviously what other teams think about us. You know, clearly, obviously, the performances from last year, the bookies have taken that into consideration, as in South Shields, but you've still got teams like Gainsborough, who came down, North Therapy, you know, you've got Scarborough, oh, Witton Albion, you know, the teams are just so strong. So, but like you say, we have real belief in what we're doing. And like you say, in terms of the players, you know, I just said to them, you know, let's get a real good start. Let's get some points on the board and see where we go. But, you know, ideally, you know, we all want success. You know, we don't want to be losing games to football. We think momentum is a huge thing in football. And we want to have a right go. So, you know, although, you know, we're keeping our expectations fairly low-key, who knows? Watch this space.
I mean, you've got a bit of a baptism of fire, to say the least, when it comes to the start of the season. You're playing, obviously, Hyde this weekend at Ewan Fields. And then on Monday, you're hosting Hensford Town. You're going to have a very good indication, I think, by Monday evening about where Basford are in this division.
Yeah, I mean, we had the same wake-up call last season. We went to Hensford in the League Cup with real high expectations, thinking we were the bee's knees, and we got smashed 5-0. So, you know, that set the alarm bells ringing straight away, knowing that however good we've been, if all the players and the team don't perform at 100% at that level, you know, you're going to get turned over. So, you know, they've just come up. We had them watch last week. They're going to be very organised, very strong. They're going to have similar expectations to us, you know, momentum, want to keep kicking on. And obviously, Hensford, who gave us a real good going over last season. So, in an ideal world, you know, you'd love to get, you know, 3 or 4 points on the board from the first 2 games. But as we know in football, what you want and what you get are 2 different things.
And last of them, Martin, heading into this very busy, hectic weekend. I mean, you were saying it's been a long pre-season. You're going to have back-to-back games pretty much. It's all happening. How's the squad shaping up going into this weekend?
Yeah, really well. I mean, we had a couple of injury doubts last weekend, but we've got a full quota to pick from. So the difficulty I have now is picking a squad of 16. You know, we have quality and abundance, so there's going to be 2 or 3 disappointed players come the weekend. But, you know, like I'll explain to them later, you know, we play Saturday, Monday. It's a really intense start to the season, and we're going to need everybody, all hands to the pump. So, you know, we know we're going to have to mix it up and rotate and manage the players best we can. And it's a really tough start, and it's going to be, the game's going to be coming thick and fast. But, you know, hopefully we can get some points on the board and settle in nicely.
So Martin Carruthers joining us there. Hyde United against Basford United this weekend. So Basford United coming up from Division 1 South as the champions. Coming up from Division 1 North as the champions is South Shields. And South Shields this weekend will be hosting Witton Albion, the team who just missed out on the playoffs last season. We obviously had Andrew Simpson on last week on the MPL show discussing Witton Albion and the like. But let's talk about South Shields. And let's hear now from one of the joint managers. It's the welcome return to the show to Mr. Lee Picton.
No, it's really positive. We're raring to go. It seems like, you know, pre-season's been going on for forever and a day now, and everybody else has got their season going, and we're ready to get ours going on Saturday, and we're sort of looking forward to it.
Now, expectations. You're obviously a manager. You've got to manage loads of things, but expectations is another one that I've got to throw into the mix. I think you are the bookies' favourites for the title this season. I mean, where are you at, on that side of things when it comes to the expectations and managing it?
I think, you know, being at the club now for a couple of years, it's just kind of part and parcel of the job. You know, we've obviously got a really strong fan base here. That's probably the major reason why we're favourites, I think, because I think maybe a few of our fans have lumped a bit of money on. But no, there is that expectation that, you know, that we're going to be, you know, fighting at the right end of things coming the end of the season, and we're happy with that expectation. We've said it before that, you know, we'd much rather it be that way than you know, going into a season wondering whether we're going to survive, or, you know, looking to finish, you know, mid-table or something like that. So it's part and parcel of what we're doing here at the club, and we just get on with it.
I mean, let's be honest, it's if you did get promotion, it'd be nothing new to the management at the club. I mean, it's how many back-to-back promotions are we on now? Is it three or four?
Yeah, we've had three up until this point. As you know, the challenge gets much, much tougher each time, and, you know, I think last season was tougher than the season before, which was tougher than the season before that. So what we've got to be careful is that, you know, people in and around the club don't kind of foster or generate a sense of entitlement. You know, we're not entitled to anything. You know, that's a constant message that we give to the player. We've got to earn our success season in, season out. And this season's obviously no different. In fact, it's going to be even tougher. So we're going to have to be smarter. We're going to have to be stronger than what we were last year, and if we want to repeat, you know, the same result.
Obviously, as well, an integral part of the club last season was the performances of Julio Arca, and obviously he's retired now from the playing side. How much of a hole is that's been left there? And what else have you been doing when it comes to recruitment to adapt to this level that you're about to enter?
Yeah, look, you know, Julio has been an unbelievable asset to the football club over the last 3 years, and, you know, I think it'll be unrealistic for anybody to come in and try and fill Julio's shoes, so to speak, because he's had such a major impact both on and off the pitch. But all good things come to an end, you know, as they say, and, you know, Julio's decided to call time on his career, and that's something that we, you know, completely respect and thank him, you know, massively for everything that he's done for our football club. What we've obviously tried to do is address a number of different areas in terms of recruitment across the postseason. We've brought in Phil Turnbull, you know, as a central midfield player. We've brought in Dan Wright, who we had on loan temporarily from Sunderland Football Club last season, so Dan's now a permanent signing for us. We've brought in the likes of Chris Hunter, Josh Gillies and Gary Brown, also from Darlington. We've got Blair Adams, who we signed from, who played at Hartlepool United last season, left-sided player. So we've strengthened in a number of areas, we feel. We identified that we needed to be, you know, a little bit more athletic across the pitch. And I think, you know, a number of those signings that I've mentioned give us that extra athleticism. And we feel that we're in a good place. You know, we've been trying a few different things in pre-season. Everything hasn't gone, you know, totally according to plan, but I guess that's what pre-season's for. And we're now shaping up for Saturday's game with, you know, we're showing really good levels the players have in training on Tuesday, and they're coming in again tonight. And fingers crossed we'll be ready to hit the ground running on Saturday.
And that game against Witton Albion is looming large. And how's the squad shaping up then against Witton Albion? Are you expecting a very big crowd there?
Yeah, we're expecting a big crowd. We've got a few challenges on the playing side. You know, we've got a couple of players suspended. Matty Patterson and Darren Loft are both suspended for day one. And then we've got a number of injuries we're trying to work through, shall we say, over the last 2-3 days before we play. You know, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination we're going to be full strength. But at the same time, we're confident that the 16 that we name on Saturday is going to be hopefully strong enough to go and do the business and really get the crowd behind us in the early stages of the game and hopefully go on and pick up the 3 points.
Lee Picton there from South Shields joining us this week. So they're going to have to start off early if they're going to win by 10 points. And, you know, that's what Berkey's challenge this year. It's got to fall on someone's shoulders, and it's falling on Mr. Fenton and Mr. Picton's shoulders. So good luck. Anyway, South Shields against Witton Albion this weekend. Let's talk about the teams coming down into the division. We spoke last week about North Ferriby United, and this weekend North Ferriby United will be travelling from East Coast to West Coast. It's Marine against North Ferriby United. And let's hear now from the management at North Ferriby United. Here's Chris Boulder.
Pre-season's gone really well. We've managed to retain a lot of last season's squad that finished the squad under myself. And we've added some good young local talent to us. Obviously, the main objective in pre-season is to get the fitness levels up, to get the team to gel, and to obviously instill some philosophies and kind of tactics and values that we want to instill in the players.
Now, obviously, last season was a difficult season for North Ferriby United, but I did see you for the last game of the season where you defeated FC United, my beloved FC United. It was a very, very energetic young squad. Is that what you bring into the league this season?
Yeah, hopefully we'll continue in that pattern. Like you say, we have got a young squad at the minute. With that, there's a little bit of inexperience, but you know we make up for that with lots of endeavour, and these lads are desperate to do well. They're listening to everything that myself and the assistant manager are trying to put on these players. And like you said, you know, we finished the season ever so well and put in a very good performance away at FC United and Manchester.
And when it comes to North Ferriby United off the pitch, obviously it's in your blood. I'd imagine you bleed green and white yourself, Chris. And it has been a difficult period for the club. How's the club shaping up going into this new season?
Yeah, it has been a tough time. Sometimes you are a victim of your own success, and the club probably over-exceeded their expectations and were punching well above their kind of, you know, their limits, really. So it's obviously disappointing now for the club to be, you know, consecutive relegations. But off the field at the minute, there's a good structure in place now. There's a new owner in place, and they're trying ever so hard to get the club stabilised once again, and hopefully we can consolidate our position again, and then, you know, we'll see about progressing from there.
I mean, that was going to be my question about what's your expectations for this season to come, because there's three types of relegations from the National League North. There's the Hyde United experience. There's the Workington or Hensford Town, where it's solidifying the following season, or it's Altrincham. What's your expectations for what Ferriby could do this season?
I think ours has definitely first and foremost got to be some consolidation. We've got to halt the recent slide that we've had. And I think it's important that we do stabilise both on and off the field and start to develop these young local players that we've got. And hopefully, you know, our priority is to obviously remain in the league. And then we'll know roughly by the end of October, you know, what position we're likely to be in and whether we feel like we can push on to the top. I'm no different to any other manager. Obviously, we want to win as many games as possible, but we've also got to be realistic with our expectations. Based on our club's budget, based on some of the other big sides that are in the division. But I think the main priority this year for everyone is to just consolidate our position again.
And the season kicks off this weekend. You go from east to west. It's a tough game, this one, away at Marine, and then there's a midweek at home to Whitby. What are you expecting from your squad, and how's it shaping up going into this busy period?
Yeah, we've got good numbers at the minute. We've had to obviously whittle the squad down to the 16, and there's a few disappointed lads who spent all pre-season with us and have just narrowly missed out on the 16. But we'll go to Marine. You know, we are full of confidence at the minute. We've had a relatively good pre-season. It's always tough going to any Liverpoolian side. It's you know, a nice big pitch. Marine have got a nice history and a good reputation at non-league level. They've had a couple of disappointing seasons of late, and I'm sure they'll be keen to get back towards the top end of the table, pushing for promotion. And then, like you say, we face Whitby, who were experiencing what it's like at non-league now. There's more money getting injected, and they've just spent a little bit of money to purchase a player. And, you know, that obviously speaks volumes about what their ambitions are. If they're willing to spend on a player, then hopefully, or they're hoping to be towards the up end. So it will be a really tough game, but on our own patch, you know, we've had plenty of pre-season games at home. So hopefully we'll take that into the game and hopefully come up with a positive result.
Well, Chris Bolden, manager at Northumberland United, for those interested in the ambience in the background, you're at a motorbike race at the moment, so we'll leave you in peace. All the best this weekend, and I'll speak to you very soon.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Chris Boulder there, the manager at Northumberland United. And we should say, we're not interviewing every club this week. That would be ridiculous. But on Tuesday night, we're doing MPL Show Live. It's a brand new thing we're doing on FC Radio. When FC United aren't playing, I'll be going to a ground more or less in the Greater Manchester area. Don't hold it against me. I don't drive. So it'll be in the Greater Manchester area or thereabouts. So the first game we're covering is on Tuesday night, and it's Stalybridge Celtic against Marine. And we'll hear from both clubs next week. We'll have both sets of managers on, and we'll bring full commentary as well live on Tuesday evening. So Marine against Northumberland United. Let's talk about the other relegated side joining us, and that's Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough Trinity travelling to Nantwich Town this weekend. And let's hear now from the manager. It's a welcome to the show to Mr. Lee Sinnott.
Yeah, they've been going well. If you look at the pre-season, I mean, when we start this coming Saturday, it would have been just over 8.5 weeks for us, which is a pretty long stint. Training-wise and pre-season games-wise, you know, the players have worked, very well. And we're obviously looking forward to, the start of the season come Saturday, because, you know, it gets to a certain stage in pre-season where the players, you know, they know they've been doing the work, but obviously they want to get into the, situation where, you know, points matter. And, we're definitely at that point now.
Now, let's talk about expectations going into the season. It's been a difficult year last season at Gainsborough. The past relegation teams joining us from the league above, they could go one of three ways, essentially. They could do a Colwyn Bay or a Hyde United and go straight through. They could do a Workington or a Hensford and stay in the league. Or they could do what Altrincham did and bounce back straight away. I mean, what are your expectations going into the new season for what Gainsborough can do?
Our expectations, Ben, are we obviously want to be at the top end of the table. It's always interesting the first few weeks. You know, you observe what, other clubs are doing, and their build-up preparations. But, I mean, for me, you know, the first few weeks of the actual season getting going will give you an indication of where things could lie. Obviously, we want to return to where we were last season, and we'll be doing everything in our power to achieve that. But we're very aware that it's an extremely competitive league, and obviously, there's a lot of other clubs who want to make the leap into Conference North. So we'll be confident in what we are capable of doing, but obviously very respectful that it's a competitive league, and there's going to be some good sides this season.
I mean, you've been involved in the non-league game in the North for years, and have you ever seen a league like this where it feels like the favourites, actually, the ones who are going to be really, really challenging along with Gainsborough, are the teams who've actually come from Step 4 this season, as well as the likes of Warrington. I mean, it feels like a very, very competitive division this season, and very difficult to judge where everyone's going to finish up come May.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, you know, you can get the bookies giving favourites and stuff like this, but, you know, you don't pay too much attention to that. I think in all leagues in the non-league, Ben, have improved. Probably starting 10 years ago. If you look at the quality of teams in the Conference National, you know, could they, you know, survive in Division 2? Well, you've got to say yes. You know, Conference North, then you go into the National, can they survive? You know, yeah, it'd be hard, but yes. So I just think the quality has improved drastically over the last few years. You know, and it's it's very competitive, isn't it? You know, it's everybody wants to be successful, but as in with any season, there's only a small amount of clubs that can be so.
And finally, then, Lee, this weekend it's the big season kickoff. You're travelling to the Weaver Stadium to take on Nantwich Town. What are you expecting for Nantwich, and how's your squad shaping up?
Squad's shaping up very well as we speak today on the Thursday before the Saturday. We do have a clean bill of health, so obviously we're training tonight. Hopefully that will obviously stay the same. Your first game of the season away, it's going to be tough. You know, full respect to Nantwich Town. They'll have their ambitions for this season. And I also think as well, Ben, for anybody in the first game, it's always a bit of an eye opener, isn't it? You can play all the pre-season games you like, but the intensity does go up probably two notches at least in the first game, whether you're playing at home or away, because for the simple reason is the mental aspect in my mind is that the brain suddenly says to itself, hang on, you know, the season has actually started today. You know, it's starting now. Yeah, everything's up for grabs. And you know, it will be demanding on all players in all the teams in the league, and obviously with the league setup as well. I think it's 6 or 7 weeks from now. You know, Saturday, Tuesday. There's a hell of a lot of football played in a short space of time.
So, Lee Sinnott there, manager at Gainsborough Trinity, and all to play for at North Home, it feels like. So, Nantwich Town against Gainsborough Trinity this weekend. Let's talk about our beloved traditional NPL sides that we've come to know and love over the last 6 years this show's been in existence. Now, here's an interesting one. Warrington Town against Farsley Celtic. Now, last week, we were all praised Farsley Celtic. Adam Laitland doing a great job there. So the opinion of the panel was it's pretty much going to be the same this season for Farsley or thereabouts. For Warrington, bit of downplaying going on. Now, we're recording this on Wednesday, and on our little private WhatsApp group that we've got with all the pundits and stuff, everything has changed, James. The mood music has changed at Cantilever Park. Why has the mood music changed about Warrington?
Warrington have just strengthened up in the last couple of days, especially with the signing of Mark Roberts at the back as well. But the main thing problem for them is they're going to have one or two players out for the start of the season. So at the same time...
And you know what Paul Carden says? What else is new?
That exactly.
We've also got a big game that stands out as well. There's a lot of fixtures standing out, but this one stands out. Hensford Town against Scarborough Athletic. Obviously, Hensford Town have had to go 180 pretty much on their squad development and that kind of thing. They were looking south, now they're looking north. An awkward situation, and we'll try and catch up with Rob Smith as the weeks progress in the next couple of weeks. But Hensford Town against Scarborough Athletic, and Scarborough Athletic, few people fancy them this season to do well. So this one's a big game in the first day of the season.
Yeah, be even bigger so for Hensford, because again, they've already struggled to get himself prepared for the season with the late change. Scarborough will see that to their advantage at the same time. So you're going to be looking there, Scarborough, thinking, you know what, there's a good chance of 3 points here, because we don't know what Hensford have got capability-wise. In the last check of the odds, Scarborough dropped down a little bit. So again, just to show the fans and everyone that they're not here just to make the numbers up. We know what they're capable of doing. It's just, can they do it?
We've also got Grantham Town against Bamber Bridge. A few questions over Grantham Town. A lot of changes going on at Grantham Town, aren't there? But Bamber Bridge, tough away. It's a long trip, that, for Bamber Bridge this weekend.
But again, Grantham, a team that have been rebuilding against with Bamber, who, again, fantastic in the playoffs. They'll fancy the goals there as well, just to show what they can do.
And speaking of long-distance travel, Workington will be hosting Stafford Rangers on Saturday in Steve Bird's first competitive outing as manager of Stafford Rangers. So it's a bit of a baptism of fire for Steve Bird here, I feel.
Again, Workington, I've got a lot to prove for this season coming. We said it last week, and it's down to them to prove it now. Both teams have something to prove this year.
Let's talk about Whitby Town as well. You mentioned Workington having something to prove. Whitby Town certainly have something to prove. And this weekend, they're taking on Buxton. And I think if you were to include the end of last season, you're probably going to have to say that Buxton were one of the most informed teams in the league. So this is a big deal, I think, for Whitby Town. If they can get a result from this one, I think Whitby Town are in for a good season.
We've seen what they are capable of doing, and they've got to call that team back. It's if they can make the next step up now and start getting back towards the top end of the table. It's a couple of times last year where they had some silly results, and the Whitby Town boys have said it for the last couple of weeks. They need to get the ball rolling.
And lastly, Stalybridge Celtic against Michelover Sports. And as we said, MPL Show Live will be coming your way on FC Radio on Tuesday evening, bringing you full coverage of Stalybridge against Marine. It's the start of the Simon Hayworth era at Bowerfold. Michelover Sports this weekend, John McGrath coming. It's been an interesting one, this one, to see where Michelover Sports are and where Stalybridge Celtic are. But like I said, we will hear from Simon Hayworth on Tuesday night, and there'll be a highlights version and a little chit chat about the results from Tuesday night. That'll be available on the podcast next week as well, if you can't tune in live on Tuesday evening. But James, I think that's everything, unless we've got anything else to add. We should add, speaking of radio commentary, this season, not every game, but there are a lot of radio stations covering fixtures now, and that's great to see, isn't it?
Yeah, so last season we started with only two or three clubs really involved. This year we're already up to 14, 15 to cover, including FC Radio, of course, covering ourselves. But the likes, again, people like Live Sports want to commentate on the league, and that's not including the BBC, which we don't count towards their numbers. A lot of volunteers spending the time to make sure the coverage is coming in, and it's interesting to see because that doesn't happen a lot in the other leagues. So if people fancy having a go with a microphone, just get in contact with me at the league. We can try and get you set up. And it's just the next step forward for the clubs, essentially, not just in case of getting a little bit more sponsorship money behind them potentially, but getting to a brand new audience.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week, as well as all my guests, loads of guests, but especially as well Mark Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast, and of course Ian Burke from 26-0. A big good luck to all the managers, chairmen, volunteers and everyone involved in the Northern Premier League for the big season kick-off on Saturday afternoon. For all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website evostickleague.co.uk, and while you're on the internet, you can also follow this show on Twitter. Just search for @NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL Show. I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye bye.
With over 500 high performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.